As we gather around the written word and listen to the spoken word, may we meet with the living word, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against anyone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. That is the verse that is our focus for this morning as we continue our exploration of this section of Paul's letter to the Christians living in Colossae. As Nick explained last week and Hugh alluded to this morning, it's a slightly unusual series as we're reading the same passage week after week, focusing on a different verse each week, each time with that church value of ours, loving each other in mind. If you want to catch up on the rest of what Nick said last week on the first verse of this passage, if you weren't here, that's of course on our YouTube and Facebook videos on the sermon podcast. You can catch up on it. Now, last week's verse, if you just looked back a little bit, finished with the word patience. Patience. Which leads perfectly into the first phrase of this week's verse. Bear with each other. This is what patience looks like in practice. It looks like bearing with each other. Now, I used to be part of a running club. And on our club's runs, we would have some people who wanted to run, enthusiastic people, who wanted to run further and faster than other people. So we had different groups which had different routes, so we were going to run for different lengths of times and at different guideline paces. Even then, though, within each group, there would still be a range of abilities, a range of speeds. So the group would get strung out a bit, if you can imagine, along the pavement. And every so often, those who were at the front would run back the way they came and then loop round and join the back again. And this way, it meant the group kind of stayed together. Those who wanted to run further and faster got to do that. Those who wanted to poddle along a bit got to do that. The group stayed together. No one got left behind. No one disappeared off into the distance. We bore with each other. I wonder what that looks like in church life. You see, we've all got our own quirks and oddities. Our own preferences, our likes, our dislikes. Most of us carry some kind of scars or wounds from our lives. Many of us live with pressures that other people can't see. And all of these things, they can cause friction in the community, can't they? They can cause friction in family life, they can cause friction in our friendship groups, and they can cause friction in our workplaces, of course, friction in our church, whatever community we're part of, all these kind of things rub up against each other. And bearing with each other is about allowing each other space, making generous assumptions about each other's motivations, choosing to think the best about each other, acknowledging, being gentle with each other because we don't know what the other people are battling with. Now, bearing with each other doesn't mean that bad behaviour should never be challenged. I wonder, have you heard the little phrase, hurt people hurt people? You ever come across that? Hurt people hurt people. And that might help us to have compassion on someone who's lashing out or pushing people away. Might help us to bear with them to a certain extent, but it doesn't mean that person shouldn't be held accountable or just gently challenged and said, actually, you are hurting people. We understand where it's coming from, but actually you are hurting people. It means that we approach those conversations with love, with a spirit of wanting to help carry their burden, to help them bear what they're bearing, to bear with them. Rather than with anger or with judgment or irritation. And then hopefully as we put these things into practice, as we learn to bear with each other, to be patient with each other, to be gentle with each other, to bear one another's burdens, there will be fewer and fewer grievances. But the reality is we're all human, and we have all these little things in our lives and the way we are that rub up against each other. And we do get things wrong. There'll be times when we do things that hurt each other, annoy each other, irritate each other, upset each other, grieve each other. So what are we to do then? What are we to do then? Well, the first thing that seems to me is that we need to be honest with ourselves. Is this grievance, this thing? Is it a them problem or is it a me problem? To take a trivial example, sometimes I have a grievance about the way in which our dishwasher at home is loaded. Suffice to say, I would do it differently. Fundamentally, don't tell them I said this. The way in which my family load the dishwasher isn't wrong. They haven't done it like that to hurt me. No one has sinned against me. My grievance is a me problem. This links back to where we started, this bearing with each other, doesn't it? Realising when our grievances are a me problem and not pushing them on to other people. Okay, that's a trivial example. And there are deeper and more complex examples. Those times when we find a flash of anger in ourselves and our heads know it's completely trivial. And our heart's just like, vroom. That's a me problem. And if it is a me problem, then we might need to do a bit of work. Explore where that reaction is coming from. Why am I so angry about this? A past wound or a hurt, a sense of pride or privilege, a belief that my way is the best way. We might find it helpful to talk about it with a trusted Christian friend. And again, that's part of bearing with each other, isn't it? Helping each other explore those things. Whatever we discover, whatever the me problem is, I believe there is healing and there is forgiveness for us as we bring it to God. What then if having thought and prayed on it, though, it truly is a them problem? And this is where the command to forgive comes in. Here it's shared by Paul. But it's a command of Jesus. Jesus repeatedly told his disciples to forgive others as we have been forgiven. We heard one of those from our reading from Matthew's eyewitness account of the good news of Jesus. And there is no wriggle room here. It is clear and repeated command for us to be a forgiving people. It's not a suggestion or a recommendation. It is a command we are directed to obey, to forgive as we have been forgiven. So, how has the Lord forgiven us? To explore the answer to that question, let's go to John's reflection on the cross, shared in one of his letters, in his first letter, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 2. And it says this: Jesus is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. From this, we see that God's forgiveness flows from Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. It was costly. It was painful. It is also universal. Jesus' sacrifice on the cross is a full and sufficient sacrifice to cover the sins of everyone, the sins of the whole world. There is a real sense in which every person who has ever lived has been forgiven by God for everything they've ever done wrong. Not everybody has received that forgiveness. They haven't trusted in it. They haven't asked for it. They haven't accepted it. But it is there for them because Jesus' sacrifice was full and sufficient. It did all that needed to be done. And if you just stop and think about it for a moment, it seems to me that that is so offensive. It is scandalous. Let me explain what I mean. Just for a moment, you'll have read these stories in the Bible, or heard these stories in the Bible, of Jesus telling people that their sins are forgiven. Yeah? Usually there are some Pharisees, some religious experts, objecting that only God can forgive sins. And we sit there reading it and thinking, good old Jesus forgiving people. Yay. Bad old religious types being all judgy. Boo. But now, just imagine that you are sat there in the crowd and you're one of the people that the person being told that they're forgiven has hurt, has sinned against. Take another step, personalize it. Think about the person who has hurt you most, that you get angriest with when you read about them or hear about them on the news. Now imagine watching Jesus tell them that they have been forgiven for all that they did to you, for all that they've done, for every sin that's made you angry. It gets worse. Let's go to the cross and Luke's historical account of Jesus' death. As Jesus was on the cross, he said this, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. As we read this, we realize that Jesus is actively forgiving people who haven't asked for forgiveness, who haven't said sorry, who probably aren't sorry, and don't even know that they need to be forgiven. So how has the Lord forgiven us? How does God forgive? With a costly and sacrificial forgiveness that is freely available to everyone, is offered to people who don't even know they need it, and which includes all the people who have ever done anything wrong. That's how we are to forgive, as we have been forgiven, because we are one of those everyone who needed that forgiveness, who needs forgiveness for the things we don't even know we've done wrong. It can be so hard, can't it? So hard to forgive. It's costly. It's sacrificial. It means us giving things up. So how are we to do it? Oh, how are we to do this? Well, it seems to me is that the important first step is to dwell in our own forgiveness. To acknowledge our need of forgiveness. And to receive it wholeheartedly. It's one of the reasons that we have confession as part of our services week on week on week. It helps to remind us that we're not perfect. We sin. That we need forgiveness. And that God has given it to us. This is the foundation upon which we can build forgiveness for others. That we ourselves need forgiveness. And that God has forgiven us. It's when we get our heads around those two truths and we lean into them and rest on them that we find ourselves being able to forgive others. And talking with God about it, prayer is really important. As Jesus prayed from the cross for the forgiveness of those who had put him there. As he prayed from the cross for us. We pray for people that they will know God's forgiveness. Another of those really inconvenient commands of Jesus. Pray for your enemies. pray for your enemies. And we pray for God's blessing on them. I don't know if you ever do this. Do you ever do this? Sometimes when I've fallen out with someone, I have a grievance against someone, I replay conversations with them in my head. Conversations I've had, and even better, conversations I'd like to have. Doesn't help me forgive them. It also entrenches those feelings of hurt and bitterness and anger, don't they? What if, when I catch myself doing this, I was to instead ask God to bless them? What if I was to ask God to help me forgive them? Maybe I don't want to forgive them. Perhaps my prayer would go something like, Lord, I'm really angry with that person. I don't want to forgive them, and I know I ought to. Help. We can be honest with God. Much more likely to get some assistance if we start from where we actually are rather than where we're pretending to be. The other thing, apart from rehearsing people's injuries against us in our own heads, another thing that can really entrench those feelings of grievance is telling lots of other people about it. A little bit earlier, I suggested that we might want to talk about a feeling with grievance with a trusted friend to help us discern whether it's a me problem or a them problem. And there is a place for getting support when we've been hurt. So there's some wisdom here. It's not black and white. Don't ever talk about it with everyone. It's just a check for our spirits, for our motivation. Why are we telling this person about what that person has done? Is it so that they can join us in being angry with them? Is it to bolster us? It's so easy to slip into ways of talking about each other, speaking about each other, that actually create barriers to us moving towards forgiveness. We just have to be careful with this. None of this is easy. It's where the reality of life in community really bites, whether that is a community in work, in school, at home, in family, in church. Places we volunteer. It's the place where it really bites. It's the practical outworking of loving each other as we have been loved. And we can't do it by ourselves. We just can't. We need God's help. And it's the part of the work of the Holy Spirit to help us. To help us by helping us realize our own need for forgiveness, convict us when it's a me problem, to move into the joy of receiving forgiveness for the things that we've got wrong, what we've hurt people, what we've sinned against God. And then that releases us into the freedom of being able to do what this verse commands us to do, to bear with each other and to forgive each other. As we have been forgiven. Amen.